fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
Good morning and welcome to Fitter Happier. Drowning continues to be the leading cause of preventable death in children under the age of five. With lack of supervision being the biggest contributor to drowning in this age group, joining us this morning to discuss all about child safety around water is Rachel Murray, Keep Watch Program Coordinator from the Royal Life Saving Society, Western Australia. Welcome, Rachel, and thanks for joining us on the record today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Rachel, the Keep Watch program has been around for a while. Can you give a brief rundown on the program and its progress?
Yeah, Royal Life Saving's been running the Keep Watch Toddler Drowning Prevention program nationally since the mid-1990s, and it came about due to, frankly, an unacceptably high number of drowning deaths that we were seeing in kids under the age of five across Australia. Between the 70s and probably the 1990s, as pools became more popular in homes, we were seeing dozens of kids drowning every year. And so the campaign kind of came out of that. In WA, we've been really lucky to have had long-term funding from the Department of Health here, which has supported us to deliver a range of education and awareness activities in the community, really aiming to make parents and other carers for kids aware of what the risks actually are and how they can keep kids safe. And as a result of public education and our very strong pool fencing legislation that we've had in place for a number of years here in WA, we've seen drowning deaths in young kids decline really significantly, particularly over the last 20 years or so. So as I mentioned, the sort of between about the 70s and the 90s, in WA we were seeing at least 10 fatal drowning deaths of young kids every year on average. And if you look at the last sort of 10 to 20 years, it's been more like 3 per year. Now, obviously that's still too many and every loss of a child is a tragedy, but we have seen a really enormous number of lives saved over that time.
It's great that the number has decreased over the past few years or so. You said the past 10 years, looking at the figures from 10 going down to 3, that's still a number that needs to be reduced to zero. And although drowning has declined as a whole, why is it still the leading cause of preventable death within this age group?
Yeah, so despite the progress that we have seen, unfortunately, we are still seeing too many young kids drowning. And it's not only those fatalities, we do also see a lot of non-fatal drownings, which can end up with kids being hospitalised, and some of those can lead to really long-term and severe outcomes as well. So it is definitely something that we are still working to prevent. And the reason that we do still see some of those numbers is because drowning happens so quickly and so silently. So we know that young children are prone to all kinds of injuries as they start to develop and they're exploring the world around them. And a lot of the time, those injuries are nothing too serious. You know, it's a bump or a bruise and someone's a little bit upset, but it's generally, you know, they'll be okay. But if that exploration of that curious little toddler leads to them ending up in the water, a serious injury or even a fatality can happen really quickly. And we know that parents know that water's a danger, you know, that's not telling them anything new. People do take precautions around the water, they do supervise kids, but what often parents don't realise is that children most commonly drown at times where they're not actually expected to be around the water. So often you last see them playing somewhere in the home, in their bedroom, in the living room, or maybe in a kind of apparently safe area of the yard. And it can take just a very short lapse in adult supervision, doing any of those things that we might be doing around the home, for your child to slip away unnoticed and get into water. So it's not necessarily happening at those times where we're really on the ball, we're taking them for a swim, we're holding on to them, we're watching closely. It's actually often happening at those times where you're not expecting it.
So with supervision being a significant contributor, and like you were saying, with accidents happening where you're not, you know, entirely watching closely or things like that, what exactly does active supervision look like?
So supervision, and active supervision specifically, is essential not only when kids are actually in or around the water, so they're going for a swim or they're in the bath, but also at times where they might have access to it. And so that could be a situation where you've got your paddling pool set up in the backyard full of water, you and your child might be doing something totally different elsewhere in the yard, and your phone rings inside, and you think, I'll just duck in and get it. That's those kind of moments where drowning can happen. So we still need to be thinking in those situations about active supervision. That means that you're giving your child your full attention the whole time that they're in or around that water. We know that kids can move quickly and things can go downhill really fast. So you need to really ideally be close enough to respond in an emergency. It's not enough to just be checking in on kids or just kind of listening out for them, thinking that you'll hear if something goes wrong, because kids can fall into water and sink without a sound. Good supervision around water also means adult supervision, so I really urge people not to rely on older kids to watch younger ones around the water. Kids, even though they might seem, you know, mature and responsible, can get distracted and either not realise that something's gone wrong, or they might panic and not respond appropriately. So if there is water around, the responsibility really needs to be with an adult.
100%. And I think one thing that we kind of tend to forget, even though our numbers have decreased, is mobile phones can also be a major distraction. And it's something we have to consider, making sure to turn that off and put it away when supervising kids around water. When we think about drowning, commonly we think about the ocean or pools. Are there any other locations parents should be aware of?
Yeah, so almost all drownings involving kids under the age of five happen around the home, so either the child's own home or a grandparent's house or another friend or family member. And most people do tend to think of pools as being the biggest risk, and that is for good reason. In WA and Australia more broadly, home pools account for about half of all drowning deaths in young kids. That includes your typical below-ground pools we'd probably all think about, as well as above-ground pools and kids' paddling pools. After that, the bath is actually the biggest risk that we see, and that's particularly the case for babies under 12 months. Apart from those two big ones, we know that anywhere that there's water can be a risk for children. So that includes things like fish ponds, water features, even buckets of water or dog bowls. We've seen things like an esky that was left full of ice that had melted that a toddler managed to get into. So they're not huge amounts of water, but if it's enough to cover a child's nose and mouth, it can be enough to cause a drowning. We do also see a small number of drowning deaths happening in more natural waterways, things like rivers and lakes, but that tends to be pretty uncommon because usually if we're out at those locations with kids or off for a picnic or a walk, we tend to be supervising pretty closely. Around the home is where we've got other distractions happening. It is hard to have eyes on kids 24 hours a day, and those moments can happen where they slip away and find their way to water unnoticed.
So with most drownings happening at the home, in what ways can parents maximise their child's safety in home environments?
Yeah, so obviously there's no substitute for supervision, and I know we've said that word a lot already, and again, for good reason. If we can have eyes on kids anytime there's water around, we can prevent a lot of these things from happening. But we also want to have other things in place as a safety net. You know, we know that people don't choose not to supervise. Often it's those just little lapses that happen. So like you said, with the phone, you get a call, someone comes to the door, you might have guests over, those distractions do happen. So to try and still keep kids safe in those situations, there are some other things we can do. Firstly, we want to prevent children's access to water wherever possible. So that means emptying out buckets, tubs, portable pools immediately after use, and just getting into the habit of using your doors and gates to restrict children's access to areas like the bathroom, the laundry, and the outdoor area. For those people with pools or who visit people who have got swimming pools, it's actually most common for children to be able to get into those pool areas unsupervised directly through the gate. So please don't prop pool gates open and regularly check that gates self-close and self-latch, because that can make a really huge difference. And watch out for climbable objects or anything that might make it possible for your child to actually get over the pool barrier, and make sure those are removed. We do want to familiarise kids with water, teach them to swim, but also put safety rules in place around all kinds of water environments and make sure you're using those really consistently. And finally, learn how to respond in an emergency. If your child has ended up in the water and clearly needs assistance, call 000 immediately and commence CPR. we would encourage everyone in the community, but especially parents of young kids, to refresh their CPR skills regularly, because if you are the first person on the scene, you need to be able to respond, and it just may be the thing that saves your child's life.
100%. I think that's such an important thing to reiterate, is definitely get yourself enrolled in CPR lessons if you haven't already, or need a refresher on them as well. It's very important, and also could be very life-saving as well. So lastly, Rachel, where can people go for further information?
You can find plenty of information on the Royal Life Saving WA Facebook page or website, or through the Department of Health's website, healthywa.com.au.
Thank you so much for joining us on The Record. Rachel, we appreciate your time.
Pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
That was Rachel Murray, Keep Watch Program Coordinator from the Royal Life Saving Society, WA, chatting with us all about water safety amongst children and drowning prevention. For more information, as Rachel said, healthywa.com.au is a great place to go. You can also check out the Royal Life Saving website as well. That's royallifesavingwa.com.au.